Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, also the Odyssey app. You can stream the show, if you would like, on Twitch and YouTube. So this is going to be a little bit different of a 5 o'clock hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I want to play the best of the play-by-play voice with the Houston Texans. I want you to hear their perspective. Also going to give you a little bit of perspective for the other AFC divisional round matchup as well. The Bills and the Ravens, a big-time game. I think a lot of people are expecting the Chiefs to win this game and play the winner of that game. I believe that Kansas City is going to be the highest-rated market for the game outside of Buffalo and outside of Baltimore. I think there's a great interest here locally about that game and about who wins that game and who potentially is coming to Arrowhead next week. So I do want to cover it a little bit in the 5 o'clock hour today. So let's talk about the top story, the number one story for today. So we got a tweet a couple of hours ago from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. Let me read to you what the tweet says. The tweet says that the Chiefs plan to start Joe Tooney at left tackle Saturday against the Texans, per sources. DJ Humphries is healthy, but Tooney, a Pro Bowl guard, flourished in tackle relief while Humphries was hurt. So the Chiefs are prepared to ride the hot hand. I understand the purpose of sports talk is to debate things, and I try to tell you guys all the time, I just simply give you my opinion on things. I'm not really that interested in changing your opinion. This is what I think. This is why I think it. A lot of times I see the other side of an argument. I don't have to be right and you have to be wrong and vice versa. We're both just watching the games, giving our opinions on things. This was one of the debates that it didn't really make a lot of sense to me why you would be on the DJ Humphries side. This is why. The Chiefs played their best football in the month of December. I don't think that that is a debate. I think the Chiefs will tell you that. They played their best football in the month of December. They had one left tackle the entire month of December. It was Joe Tooney. When they had that stretch of 3 games in 11 days and they played 2 playoff teams in that stretch, one of those playoff teams that is coming to Kansas City tomorrow and the other one was on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had one left tackle. You're going up against who some people think have the best 1-2 pass rush of any team in the National Football League. You've already gone up against that pass rush with this left tackle, with these 5 offensive linemen, and Joe Tooney gave up 1 sack. It didn't really make sense to me to be on the side of, and we were doing the say it out loud test. Hey, I know what the Chiefs did in December, and I know that they're playing their best football, but let's change things up. What? In fact, I want them to do the exact same thing they've been doing. Exactly what they did against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I want them to do just that. They have not added anybody. I don't want you to take anybody away. Everybody is healthy from that game. Everybody's feeling good. In fact, we're adding Chris Jones from the Pittsburgh Steelers game because we didn't have him. It didn't make sense to me to see what was working for Kansas City and then decide to not do that for the postseason. I understand that DJ Humphries was the original plan, but I think that football is a great metaphor for life. Usually in life, something is going to happen. You're going to have some car issues. You're going to get into it with your old lady. You're going to feel sick one day. You are never going to have things be 100% all the time. And life is usually how you respond to the changes that happen. That's the same thing about football. You're not going to have all 53 guys every single week. You're not going to get every single call. You're not going to make every single block or catch every pass. Usually the team that can withstand the changes and adjust is usually the team that wins. And the Chiefs have shown us through the last 5 years or so, there's no team in the NFL that is better at adjusting and adapting to the changes better than they are. They started this season with the plan. Kingsley Suamataia, they were real confident in that plan. So confident, they drafted that player in the second round, and he was their starter every day for 5 months. They loved that plan. And then they started playing games. And they're like, wait, hold on. This plan's not working anymore. Let's go to Wanya Morris. Another guy that they drafted, they liked, played at a major university, played at Oklahoma. They gave him a chance. They did not like that option. Then they were forced with the decision. They went out and they signed DJ Humphreys. A great move to go sign DJ Humphreys. Somebody texted in earlier today, well, what was the purpose of signing DJ Humphreys if he's not going to start in the postseason? Well, it's good to have a backup plan. You know what our parents used to tell us? You can't put all your eggs in one basket. So they did not put all their eggs in plan A this time. Maybe Mike Caliendo goes out with an injury. Well, you move Joe Tooney back to left guard, and then you put DJ Humphreys in at left tackle. Maybe Tooney goes down with an injury. Well, then you have an option. If there is any organization that knows it is better to be prepared at left and right tackle, I think it's the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's number one. And I think their plan was what they went into for the Los Angeles Chargers game. They had a plan. Joe Tooney was going to start then. He was going to be their starter the rest of the season. He got injured. Tooney stepped in. Tooney did a fine job stepping in for DJ Humphreys. And the rest is history, so to speak. So this is the side that I've been on this entire time. I think this is the right side to be on of this argument. And again, whatever they did against the Pittsburgh Steelers and against the Houston Texans the first time, I want them to do more of it. And it didn't make a lot of sense to me how you can see what worked for the Chiefs and then be on the side of, I don't want you guys to do that anymore. This was the right decision. Joe Tooney at left tackle, Caliendo at left guard. You keep the rest of the offensive line. This was their best five for the duration of the season. Let me give you guys some numbers really quick and we'll move on from left tackle. These are the other seven teams that are still left at left tackle. Look at Philadelphia. Their left tackle played 800 snaps this year. Laremy Tunsil played almost 1,100 snaps this year. Deion Dawkins for the Bills played 961 snaps. Ronnie Stanley played almost 1,100 snaps. You had DJ Humphreys play 92 this year. This is week 20 of the NFL season. This is not week one, week two, week three. The time for experimenting and trying out different things, that time ended about 10 days ago. I'm not into experimenting anymore. That's what the regular season is for. Let's see this combination. Let's see this combination. At this point, I want you to lock in with what your plan is and go execute your plan and be able to do that for the next 3 weekends. And if the Chiefs execute their plan for the next 3 weekends, we will have another parade in downtown Kansas City. That is the plan that I am for. Coming up in about 5 minutes, Rob, let's catch up with the play-by-play voice of the Houston Texans. But let's get to the other games and let's get to the top stories around the NFL.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Counting to the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, as you mentioned, Carrington, it's the Chiefs and Texans. That is the number one story in Kansas City. And friend of the show, Matt Verderam, was on the show earlier this week. And if Chiefs fans aren't confident enough, he laid out a stat that explains why the Chiefs and favorites in general usually take care of business during divisional round weekend.
I'm not overlooking Houston. I'm not. It's a playoff game. Anything can happen. I actually went back and looked it up. Since the divisional round became a thing in 1967, there have been 83 divisional round games where the spread was over 7 points. In those games, favorites are 65-18. They win about 80% of the time. You can lose. It happens. But if the Chiefs don't give the game away, they're not losing this game. Even if they're a little rusty, even if they've got to figure some things out, they're better. They're better on all three phases of the game. They have a better coaching staff. And I think the Texans have a good staff, but the Chiefs' staff's probably the best in football. Like, they're better. They may not cover. Maybe it's one of those things where they win, like, you know, 26-20 or something.
Carrington, with that stat in tow and the knowledge we have about what usually happens in divisional round weekend, should there be anything but supreme confidence from Kansas City Chiefs fans they'll take care of business against the Houston Texans?
Well, yeah, I certainly think you should feel confident, and I do think the team is playing with the swagger. I think that this is the best position that I think the Chiefs have been heading into the postseason since that COVID year in 2020. The offense is healthy and firing on all cylinders. The defense is going to be healthy. Every single person on their defense was a full participant in practice this week. So this defense is ready to go. Special teams wise, you've allowed Harrison Butker extra time. I think from a just continuity, energy, health standpoint, I think the Chiefs are in a really good spot. I'll give you guys a stat. Out of the last 60 teams to make it to the AFC or NFC championship game, only 8 of those teams won 10 or fewer games in the regular season. 10-win teams just don't get to the next phase of the season. They usually do what Houston did last year. Houston won double-digit games. They went on the road to play the one seed in the Baltimore Ravens. They lost 31-10 last year in the second round of the postseason. How I feel about Houston is the exact same way that I feel about the Commanders. The Commanders have had a great season. This is a great building block. This is the first playoff win that the Washington Commanders have had in 20 years. Congratulations. You now go on the road to a team that is well-rested, a team that can win the Super Bowl, and a team that puts the beats on you. I respect Houston. I respect the Commanders. This is just where playoff teams go to die and the Super Bowl favorites emerge. Kansas City is a Super Bowl favorite. We'll see who wins the other AFC game between the Bills and the Ravens. I look at the Lions as being one of those kind of teams. I told you guys about the VIP room and the 5 teams that I think are in the VIP room. I think those teams advance and play next weekend for the AFC or NFC championship.
Number 2.
Speaking of that VIP room, Carrington, maybe the game of the weekend, maybe even the game of the weekend for people in Kansas City. I'll be interested to see the ratings. Bills and Ravens, Sunday, Nance, Romo, CBS. Carrington, is this the year that Lamar Jackson finally beats the allegations about being a playoff choker, or are Buffalo and the boys headed to Kansas City after their divisional round matchup?
It does feel like a lot of people are picking the Ravens. I get it. I do think the Ravens are the more talented of the two teams. But for me, seeing is believing. As somebody who was born and raised in the state of Missouri, in fact, I've never lived anywhere outside of the state of Missouri. This is the show me state. You got to show me that you can win a game like this. Lamar Jackson has 2 road starts in his NFL playoff career. In the first game, he threw for 179 yards and 0 touchdowns. He threw 0 touchdowns in his other road game. He does not have a road touchdown in his playoff career. He has a career passer rating in the postseason of 81.2. He goes from a next level elite all-time great quarterback in the regular season, and he has not shown the ability to continue that heading into the postseason. Where I've seen Josh Allen play at that same level, if not elevate his play in the postseason. If we are saying that this is a quarterback league, I'm going to take the team that I think has the better quarterback, also going to take the team that is at home. I'm taking the Buffalo Bills to win this weekend. I think that Baltimore has more talent from start to bottom. I just don't trust Baltimore going into this game. Are they going to continue to run the football? They ran it 50 times last week. When they played in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City after the first touchdown, they then ran it 8 times the rest of the game. If they get punched in this game, are they going to continue to do what they are doing? I haven't seen them do that in the postseason. And can Lamar overcome his fear? Lamar has been exceptional in the regular season. He has come up routinely small in the postseason. With that, I got to go on the other side. I got to take the Buffalo Bills to take care of business at home and to win this game. Let's get back to the Chiefs and Texans. Earlier today, we had the play-by-play voice on of the Houston Texans. I want to play a little cut of this and the best of our conversation. So this is Mark Vandermeer, the play-by-play voice for the Texans. I asked him if he thinks that Houston can replicate what they did on defense against Kansas City like they played against the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, McConkey obviously had a great game. I mean, he had almost 200 receiving yards, and I likened it to if you play a basketball team that has a hot score, sometimes that guy's going to get his, but if you win the game, you feel like, okay, great, you know, congratulations on the point total. And in his case, the yardage total and that great reception he had on third and long for the TD in the second half. But the answer to your question is pressure. You know, they got to the quarterback. They were hitting him early. They were getting pieces of him, and they finally got sacks. They got pressures. They forced errant throws. And pressure is the great elixir for a defense because the Texans have the guys on the back end to make life really difficult and miserable for quarterbacks. I mean, you know, Kamari Lassiter is a tremendous rookie from Georgia, had the big pick. After the Texans turned it over, he took it right back for Houston. Derek Stingley Jr., all pro, two interceptions. He had Eric Murray with the pick six. Now, Murray's pick wasn't exactly like he made a tremendous play on the ball. I mean, it was a good play, no question, but it was a high throw by Justin Herbert, and Murray was there to capitalize. So, you know, those things are going to happen when you get pressure on the quarterback, and maybe he's, even if you don't get pressure on a subsequent play, he's maybe thinking about it or rushing it or whatever. So Herbert obviously had a bad game. Texans had a great game on that side of the football, and that meant all the difference in the world to keep that point total down, hold them to 12, and move on to the divisional round.
You mentioned pressure. I feel like if Houston's going to come into Kansas City and pull off the upset, they're going to need that front seven, that defensive line to play a much better game than they did the last time. They only got one sack on Patrick Mahomes, and he had a very good day spreading the ball around his weapons. If Houston is going to win this game, you're going to need more from Will Anderson than you got the first time and a lot more from Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, I think those two guys are, you know, I don't know if it matters where it comes from, Carrington, as long as it arrives in the pocket and makes Mahomes either throw it incorrectly, inaccurately, or, you know, you get him down to the ground is the preferred result of that. You know, when he gets out of the pocket, we all know how dangerous he is. I've always said, and you guys know this, I've always said that the running ability was overlooked. I felt like I was one of the first people to notice this, even though I'm clearly not. But He's not a running quarterback, but man, he uses that as a weapon so often. And even if it's just three times a game where he scrambles for a fresh set of downs, it's so devastating and demoralizing for the defense. At least that's how it feels watching the game. So you just got to find ways to get there. And if it means sending extra people, so be it. Although, you know, the great quarterbacks in this league historically, they don't mind being blitzed because they tend to know where it's coming from. They know who's hot. They find that hot receiver. I think with Mahomes, if you can, and this is with any quarterback, if you can get pressure with your front four, particularly the tackles, good things are going to happen. Because if the tackles can get up the middle a little bit and at least force him off his launching point, maybe the edge guys can get to him. Now, he tends to go through the B gap, and we all see him make plays like that too. So it's a basic nightmare for anybody facing Mahomes. You just have to find a way to force enough errant throws on third downs and find a way to capitalize on offense. Easier said than done, Carrington.
Right now, we're talking to the play-by-play voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Mark, do you think that Houston has enough firepower in this matchup? Ron the Show Hughley, who does fantastic work in Houston, he was on the show a couple days ago, and he gave us a stat that Houston has only scored more than two touchdowns in one of their last 12 games. You're going to need to put up points in this game against a fully healthy Kansas City Chiefs offense. Joe Mixon's a little bit banged up. We obviously know about Diggs and Dell, and they're not going to play in this game. Do you think Houston has enough firepower in this matchup?
I think they have enough firepower if they play, I hate to say their best games, but play an A game. You know, C.J. Stroud, I thought in the first matchup, and they were rerunning the game this week on NFL Network, so, you know, I hate to watch losses again. It's just painful. But I was watching it, and I thought, you know, Stroud was playing pretty well in this game. And that throw he made to Tank Dell, where Dell got hurt for the would-be tying touchdown, was a hell of a throw. He made some other good passes. Now, I know he turned it over as well. But I felt like the game was very competitive, and it could have been the Texans' day, but the Dell injury seemed to, you know, cast a dark cloud over everything. Long delay, emotional reaction to it. Dell was playing well in this game, and he's a big weapon for them. So in this particular outing, in the divisional round, you absolutely need everybody to be at their best. You know, John Metchie is going to have to catch everything, and he's had some issues with drops on occasion. He had the fumble last week. You know, I know it was a bang-bang play, hard hit, but it happened. First play from scrimmage for the offense. You've got to find a way to hang on to everything that C.J. Stroud throws at you, because I think Stroud is ready for the moment. I mean, this is year two. He's in the divisional round. People look at his regular season stats. I don't think he pays much attention to that. He knows he played well last week. He knows he's got a great opportunity here. He just played here 4 weeks ago. I think he rises to the occasion and plays well. Is it going to be enough? We don't know. That's why we love sports. It's unscripted entertainment. You know, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but I think it's going to be a very competitive game.
One of the points that I've been making this week is I think Kansas City is going to win this game. I think they're the better team. They're at home. They're the healthier of these two teams. But I will acknowledge that Houston has some of the ingredients that you would need to pull off an upset. I think Houston has a good head coach. I think they have a capable quarterback. I think they have a very good defense that can get after the other team's quarterback and can also take the ball away. Houston has an ability to maybe muddy this game up where you can go into the final 8 minutes of the game having a real shot with the chance to pull off the upset.
Absolutely. There's always a chance. Anybody will tell you that. Look at last week. Everybody wrote Houston off last week because they watched Christmas Day and thought, that's not a good team. They're not going in the right direction, whatever. But the Texans kind of hit the reset button after that game. And DeMeco Ryans, even though the game against the Titans, the regular season finale, was against an inferior opponent, even though the Titans beat the Texans at home this year, they decided, let's have a great week of prep, great week of execution, great game. Starters played a drive. You know, most of the starters played a drive on offense. They finished it off beautifully. And I think that that gave them a real positive feeling going into that week of prep against the Chargers. And as you all know, I mean, you know, Carrington, you follow this game. They'll tell you it's about how they prepare, and they are huge on that here with, hey, we're going to play as well as we practice. Let's practice hard, practice well. They had a full week of football prep because they're going Saturday to Saturday, and I think that helps the Texans. And I know numerous guys are banged up, but they do have the tools to pull it off. Again, you got to make those plays. You know, you're going to have to make the big stop at the moment of truth. You're going to have to hang on to a ball that's hard to get to. You're going to have to knock down a ball that's intended for Hollywood at a big moment if Mahomes is driving late. You're going to have to make those plays, and we won't know until we see it happen. And the Texans are trying to make history here, obviously, getting to the AFC Championship game for the first time ever.
This is usually where I ask people, give me your Chiefs win if scenario, give me your Texans win if scenario. I think for the most part, we know what the scenarios are for Kansas City to pull off a win at home. I'll ask the question this way. What did Houston not do in the first matchup that you think they need to do in part two of this series in order for Houston to pull off the upset?
They got to get the ball out. You know, in the first matchup, if they were able to get that fumble return to count, right? They're up 10 at that point. Now, I know we're talking about a series where you had a 24-0 lead in 2019 in the divisional round, and it didn't hold. It evaporated by halftime, which is amazing. We don't have to talk about that game. And only very few players remain from that contest for the Houston Texans. And I know the Chiefs have really been overhauled as well. You see Mahomes, and it feels like with these great teams like the Chiefs, you see the quarterback, it feels like, same team, completely different team. And I know you know this, but, you know, Travis Kelce, Mahomes, Chris Jones, great. Jones didn't play in that 2019 playoff game. But I think they got to get the ball out. They have to find a way to get either a score on defense or such favorable field position that it's almost an automatic. And you're going to have to make a play or two on special teams. I'm not even talking about turnovers. I'm talking about give me a 40-yard kickoff return. Give me a 25 to 30-yard punt return that really makes it favorable field position. Give me one of those. And obviously playing clean. I mean, that goes without saying, because if the penalties pile up to double digits and, you know, you turn it over, forget about it. The Texans are not going to do this against a Goliath-like opponent like the Chiefs.
That was the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, joining us on the show. If you missed any part of that, be sure to check it out on the podcast page on 96.5thefan.com. Coming up, we'll continue to get you ready for the AFC divisional round of the playoffs. We'll continue to get you ready for the action tomorrow here in Kansas City. Also Sunday between the Bills and the Ravens. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming back in just a bit, we'll get you a little bit of Bills thoughts. We'll also get you some Ravens thoughts and get you ready for that side of the AFC playoffs. Let me ask you guys this. Do you ever spend any time thinking about Patrick Mahomes' first playoff win? I imagine for a lot of you, that was actually a really good day. The Chiefs hadn't won a home playoff game, and God knows how long it had been. They won the playoff game in Houston, but that's something you saw on television. This was a game that you got to go to, a game that you got to experience. The Chiefs won a home playoff game. We don't really spend any time talking about that game. Do you remember who scored in that game? Do you remember who played? Do you remember any? No. You want to know why? Because the game was boring. That's what I want Saturday to be. I want Saturday to be boring. I don't want there to be anything that we spend time talking about in the future. If we spend time talking about this game, it is usually because something went wrong. The reason we talk about the Miami game from last year is because it was minus 20 degrees outside. Something was wrong. The reason that we talk about the Chiefs playoff game against Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville is because something went wrong. Mahomes had the ankle injury. You remember they played a home game against the Cleveland Browns. If you remember, something went wrong. Patrick didn't finish the game. They needed a 99-yard drive from Chad Henne to win that game. Something went wrong. I want this to be a usual, standard, normal playoff game. That's it. I don't need it to be anything special. I don't need it to be memorable. I need this to be a regular Week 7 Chiefs and Texans game. And usually when the Chiefs are fully healthy and Patrick Mahomes stays healthy throughout the game, that's what they usually have happen. They have had four of those games in this round of the postseason, the playoff openers for Kansas City. They've had four of those games in which Patrick Mahomes started and finished the game. That playoff game that we were talking about with Indianapolis, they won that game 31-13. They blew out the Indianapolis Colts. That was Mahomes' first home playoff win. The next season, that was the Houston game. The reason we talk about that Houston game, they got down 24-0 in the first quarter of the game and needed a pretty big comeback, and they won 51-31. The game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, you remember that game back in 2021? We don't ever spend any time talking about that game, right? They won that game 42-21. They smoked the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last year's Dolphins game, there's really two things to remember from that game. It was cold, and Snead pow drove Tyreek Hill into the ground. They won 26-7. Domination in these games. That's what I want this game to be. I do not think that Houston can beat Kansas City. I think the Chiefs can lose to the Texans. How do you lose in this scenario? You lose by playing down to their level. If the Chiefs play a B-plus game or higher, this is not going to be something that you need to worry about. If the Chiefs play a B-minus game or lower and Mahomes gets sacked four times, they turn the football over, Houston scores a defensive touchdown the way that they did last week, Houston gets a big play in special teams, the Chiefs have 9 penalties for 105 yards, Jawan Taylor is a little jumpy on the snap, that's how Houston keeps this game close. I don't think that Houston has enough firepower to be able to keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs. This is not me being cocky. This is not me being arrogant. I'm simply looking at the box score from last week against the Chargers. Listen to this. Joe Mixon had 25 carries for 106 yards. It's been a while since a running back has like really run all over the Chiefs, but he had a good game last week. Nico Collins also had a good game. 7 catches, 122 yards, and 1 touchdown. He had a dynamite game. 8 targets, 7 catches, over 120 yards, and a touchdown. He won you a little money in your parlays. Listen to everybody else. Nobody else on Houston's offense had more than 45 yards of offense last week against the Chargers. You had Xavier Hutchinson. Rob, you and I watch a lot of college football. Do you know what college Xavier Hutchinson went to? Do you know who Xavier Hutchinson is? I've never heard of this man before. I'm serious. I don't know who he is. He was their second leading receiver last week with 34 yards. They had Cade Stover, who had 4 catches for 28 yards. John Mechie, the wide receiver from Alabama, he had 4 catches for 28 yards. Dalton Schultz had 2 for 23. Robert Woods had 2 catches for 22 yards. This team has 2 capable offensive weapons, and this is a defense with Spags that I believe you can minimize one of these options. Maybe you're not completely shutting down Joe Mixon and Nico Collins. If you do that, Houston scores 3 points. But you take one of these guys out of the game, and we've seen them do that with running backs. Joe Mixon has 45 yards rushing, has 51 yards rushing. Well, somebody has to make up those yards. Who in this offense do you think is capable of making up those yards against a fully healthy, fully rejuvenated Chiefs defense that has had a lot of time to get right, get ready, and prepare for a cornerback room that is going to be as deep as they've been at any point in the second half of the season, a D-line that is getting Chris Jones back, has Charles Aminihu, they're healthy and they're fresh. I just don't think Houston has the firepower to keep up with the Chiefs if the Chiefs play their brand of football. If the Chiefs play how they played against Houston the first time, they win this game pretty comfortably. If they play how they played against Cleveland, they win this game comfortably. If they play how they played against Pittsburgh, they blow the Texans out on Saturday. If the Chiefs come in and play their game, I just don't think that Houston has, they don't have the pieces. They don't have the horses, I think, to be able to win this game. I just don't trust them in this scenario. It's that simple. We had Ron the Show Hughley on earlier this week. This is what he said about Houston's offense. Listen to this stat.
Like right now, you look at it, and they got Nico and they got Joe Mixon. And I would think Spags is going to try to do what he can to at least take one of those options away. So, yeah, that is a big concern to me to see if they've got enough. And in another stat here, in the last 12 weeks, the Texans offense has scored more than two touchdowns once in the last 12 weeks. 11 of the last 12 games, they have been two touchdowns or below from an offensive standpoint. Now, the defense has scored five times in that time frame to help them. But they've been 14 points or lower, or I mean, at least in terms of touchdowns, in the last 12 weeks. So, and that's with having Tank Dell in there in some of those games. So, yeah, it's their margin of error on offense is really, really small.
If you only score two offensive touchdowns in this game, I don't think that's a game that you're winning. What's the highest amount of points you think Houston scores if they only score two offensive touchdowns? 20? They score two touchdowns. They get two field goals. They score 20 points. Is that enough to go on the road and beat Kansas City? I don't think so. I think if Houston is going to win this game, they're going to need some outside forces. Houston's going to need a defensive touchdown. Houston's going to need a turnover that puts the ball right there on the doorstep where their offense has to go 25 yards in order to score a touchdown. They just don't have the dogs right now to go out there. You got Joe Mixon. You got Nico Collins. If the Chiefs take one of those two guys out and the Chargers, who have the number one scoring defense in the league, couldn't take out either one of those individuals. If the Chiefs slow down Joe Mixon or limit Nico Collins, I'm not really sure if there's another person in that offense. The guys that could potentially help you, they're injured right now. Diggs is out with the torn ACL. Diggs is out with a broken kneecap. They don't have enough firepower, in my opinion, to keep up with a pretty well-rounded Chiefs team. When you look at that running back room, you look at the wide receiver room, the tight end room, they got the offensive line shored up. I think the Chiefs score at least 27 points tomorrow, and I think that's going to be enough against Houston. Coming up on the other side, let's get you ready for the other game in the AFC, Bills and Ravens. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you. We will be here on Monday. I know that Monday is a national holiday, but we are locked in for the postseason. At least I'm here. You know, it's always 50-50 with Rob. Rob ain't showing the same level of commitment that I'm showing. Rob's got a busy day tomorrow. Rob's going to the KU game. Rob's going over some special house. He can't even tell me where he's going. It's some hyper-exclusive Chiefs playoff watch party at Jay Rieger's. I don't know where he's going. Somewhere exclusive. Like, hey, where are you going? Oh, man, I can't really talk about it. What do you mean? Oh, man, it's going to be great. I can't get invited. No, man, it's just I don't know, man. It's going to have a few people. Okay, never mind. I don't know what's going on. So he's driving to Lawrence for the game. He's driving back to go to some disclosed location to watch the playoff game. Then he got floor seats for Seinfeld. So he thinks he's walking around here like he big time. I don't know if he's going to be here on Monday. I'm going to be here. That is my duty. That is my obligation to you for tuning into this show. Rob hasn't shown that commitment. Rob's taking off for weddings. Rob's taking off because it's the end of the year. He's tired. What? It's the playoffs. I'm going to be here, though, because we got too much to talk about. We got playoff football. We're going to know who the last four teams are in the NFL. Let's start with the Bills, shall we? I'm picking the Bills to win this weekend. Let's start with the Bills. I asked Jeremy White of WGR in Buffalo if he feels like the Bills are being disrespected heading into Sunday, because it feels like the popular consensus is the Ravens are winning this game.
I think it comes down to star power. Like, people just don't really trust their offense, and I do think that's a little bit justified. I mean, I'm even a little bit nervous. Can they continue to find the perfect formula? Like, they have pretty much since that Ravens game back in September. They lost that game. They lose to Houston the next week. And after that, rattled off a bunch of wins in a row, beat Kansas City, beat Detroit, you know, all the way up to the Rams game that they lost while scoring 42. So the offense had struggles early, and that's just a different team. And each and every week they've had answers. So I think they've got a great chance to win this game. And in terms of, like, the quarterback conversation, I think the two men with the most pressure are Lamar Jackson and Sean McDermott. And it's because they kind of live the same life, which is they're great, and then in the playoffs, they're not as good. And one of those two is going to try to shed that this week, or maybe successfully do so, because Bills fans need a big performance from their defensive head coach, from their defensive coordinator, Bobby Babich, because almost every year in the playoffs, the defense has let them down.
That is Jeremy White joining us on the show from WGR out in Buffalo. I do think that the Ravens have the better roster of the two, but for the Bills to be a home underdog in this, I do think is a little bit disrespectful. If this game was in Baltimore, that line tells me that the Ravens would be a 4.5, 5.5 point favorite. I don't think there's that much of a gap between these two teams. Buffalo is the home team. Buffalo had a little bit of a rest. I guess you could argue Baltimore had the same at the end of the season. I think that Josh Allen has been the better postseason quarterback of the two. I'm picking Buffalo to win. You can get them right now as a home dog on the money line at plus 100. No juice. Just, do you think that Buffalo is going to win the game? I already placed the bet. I think that Buffalo is advancing. I think Buffalo is heading to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game. Let's get the Ravens' perspective on things. This is my big thing with the Ravens. Are they going to stick to running the football? Last year in the AFC Championship game, they ran it 8 times. That's not how Baltimore wins games. Last week, they ran it 50 times against Pittsburgh. If they show that level of commitment to running the football, they're going on the road and potentially winning. But what I think we've seen from Baltimore in the postseason is if you punch Baltimore back in the postseason, they kind of wither up. I saw Derrick Henry do that to them back in, 2019, went in there, stiff arm Earl Thomas. We haven't seen Earl Thomas since. I saw Kansas City do that last year in the AFC Championship game, come out firepower, guns blazing. I saw the Ravens switch up on us in real time. If that happens in this game, if Josh Allen comes out there early and, hey, I'm the best quarterback in the National Football League and dominates the game, is Baltimore going to stick with what they've done? Are they going to stick to their game plan and run the football? Because they didn't do that last year against Patrick Mahomes. I asked Cordell Woodland that question. Here's what he said.
The league wasn't created with the idea that any team would ever have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the same backfield. No, nobody ever thought that that's what they would have to deal with in the postseason. So, you know, they're going to challenge teams to stop the run, and probably more than stop the run. You're going to have to really almost shut the run game down, or at least force them into a lot of passing down situations. The Ravens do kind of help teams out with their penalties. They're the most penalized team in the league, a lot of pre-snap penalties, so that could be a factor. But if they're able to stay on schedule, I just don't really see a scenario where they'll be forced to get out of their game plan. And make no mistake about it, I don't think that they're afraid to throw the ball. Lamar, he led the league in a passer rating this year, so he's as efficient as they come in terms of throwing the ball and running the ball. They feel comfortable winning either way, but make no mistake, it all leans on the run game, and they want to emphasize that for sure.
I do think that this game feels a lot like the Rose Bowl from, what was that, 2002? I'm not saying this is the national championship game, but you remember, Reggie Bush won the Heisman that year. They were going up against Vince Young, who came in second in the Heisman. And I think now, looking back, if people could change their vote, I think they would give it to Vince Young. He's the one that has the iconic moment. He's the one that has the confetti. If you remember, Reggie Bush actually had the biggest turnover in that game and was part of the reason why USC didn't win three straight national championships. So this does have that kind of feel. I'm hoping it's a good week in the National Football League. The NFL hasn't been that good since Christmas Day. We got a couple of beatdowns. Week 18 was nothing. Last week was nothing. Please, football gods, bless us. Give us some good football this weekend. I appreciate you guys listening. We had a great week. Really excited for next week if the Chiefs win. We've already got a plan in place. Next week is going to be one of the biggest weeks that we've ever had on this show. I appreciate you guys listening and making us a part of your day. Have a great weekend, and I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.